Steve Pynacker. He's the evangelical host of Mormon Book Reviews, as well as myself. We need to try that out again. Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Some people don't like the academic study of the Bible or the scriptures. That's not the case with Steve Pynacker or myself. Steve is the evangelical host of Mormon Book Reviews, and we'll talk about some of the stories that we both struggle with in the Bible that have some really tough spiritual messages. Does that help build faith? Check out our conversation.
What was one of the more surprising interviews or guests that you had that really kind of took you off guard or just kind of surprised you at something they said or did, or maybe their personality was something that was different than what you expected?
Well, the two that bring to mind, actually my current interview with Brent Ashworth, when he told me that he sat next to Ted Bundy in class, I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea, you know. How many people know two serial killers, Ted Bundy and Mark Hoffman? I was just like, are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. But one of my very first ones was with Paul Reeve. And, you know, the Gospel Topics essays had just come out. I guess it'd been out a little while. But nobody knew who had written them. And I'd heard rumors that Paul had helped with it. And so I asked him. And I was so nervous to ask him because I didn't think he'd answer. And he's like, yeah, I had something to do with that. And I'm like, tell me more. It was my first scoop. I remember my numbers, you know, they were tiny and they just shot up, especially that episode. And because, I felt bad afterwards because the title of it was Paul Reeve Wrote the Race Essay. And to be honest, Paul Reeve had written like a 40-page paper that they had condensed down to 8 and highly edited. And so Paul didn't, even though he kind of wrote the foundation of it, it wasn't his true feelings, and it had been edited so much and he didn't appreciate that title. Plus it might've got him in trouble. And I was like, I'm sorry. So I changed it. But now I think it's, well, I changed it at the time to Paul Reeve, Modern Lessons. And then I had a few other people. I asked Ugo Perego if he had written the DNA essay, and he, like Paul, had helped with that one. And Brian Hales helped with the polygamy essay. And I remember I said something about Brian Hales' role with the polygamy essay, and then I thought, oh, I'll do the same thing with Paul, so. Talk about his role. He had a role in it, but he wasn't necessarily author. So
basically you're telling me that you're interviewing authors, not knowing who wrote the Gospel Topics essays. You're interviewing them and you're starting to realize, hey, wait a second here. You know, like, is that, so you're kind of on your own kind of discovering who wrote these Gospel Topics.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a big logic leap to, I'd heard rumors about Paul, so I was pretty sure Paul had. I was just surprised he said yes. I thought he would dodge and that sort of thing, but he didn't. He answered it. And Ugo, like everybody knew Ugo wrote it. That wasn't this big surprise. And Brian Hales, like he's Mr. Polygamy. So that one wasn't a real surprise. But it was nice because I was the first one to kind of do the breaking news on those. So that was fun.
Huh. So we go to most surprising then to, without naming names, what would you say was probably like the most disastrous interview or situation that happened while you were doing a podcast? Or it could just be environmental stuff that happened, or maybe not give me too many details that you could, but just something that just went, oh, just the stuff hit the fan and all hell broke loose.
Well, so there's two, and I wish that I could continue to prevent this from happening. I haven't had an interview that went terrible, but I've had technical problems where you'll notice, like my Dory, I was just looking at my Dory, Olds Hoffman interview and my camera wasn't recording and I thought it was. And so that's why you have a still picture there for, gosh, through episode 2, I know luckily I had audio recorded separately. So I didn't have to, call her back and say, hey, we need to do this again. But that, and then the audio problems, you know, my first recorder, I only had two microphones. And I remember with my John Hamer and my Lachlan Mackay interview, they're both from the Community of Christ. I thought, well, I'm putting the good microphones on them because nobody cares about me, and I'll just use the camera microphone. And so when I talk, it sounds terrible. But I kind of knew. Now I have a recorder that'll have four microphones. So usually it's the tech problems. I haven't had any really bad situations with people for the most part. You know, everybody's been super nice, super cordial. But yeah, my biggest snafu is just tech issues, either sound or video or whatever. So,
Yeah, I've been getting an education from you just about all the manpower hours that you put into this, which is amazing to me. So have you ever thought about doing like something out of the box, like have a guest that wasn't necessarily in the Mormon world, or maybe an unusual person that you'd like to interview, or do something different with, like, take your podcast on a different direction for just a different episode? Or have you thought of like different ideas of things you might want to explore?
You know, I have a friend, Kurt Frankum. He has a Leading Saints podcast, and he talked about leadership and how to be a better leader. And he's interviewed some people that I've really wanted to interview, like Frank Layden from the Utah Jazz. You know, he used to coach the Utah Jazz. But I can't figure out how I would get Frank on, because it's not Mormon history related at all. So I'd love to have Frank on there. I've thought about Thurl Bailey. I kind of know Thurl a little bit, but he's a former jazz player, and he converted to the LDS Church. So he played in the NBA for a bunch of years, and then he went to Italy for a few years, and he joined the church in Italy, and then he came back and he played for the Jazz for a year or two after. So it was kind of during his NBA career, but while he was in Italy. But I haven't really been able to figure out a good angle for that. You know, there's lots of sports people I'd love to interview, but I, you know, I'm so Mormon history focused that I try to keep with that. So,
okay. So of course, right now you've been working on the Brent Ashworth interviews. And of course, in the last few weeks, we've had the Murder Among the Mormons on premiere on Netflix, and it's caused quite a buzz. You've probably seen a surge in viewers interested, you know, in those topics.
Absolutely. So
what has that meant to you to have this renewed interest in some of your older guests? And then you're putting out new material, which you're kind of filming it and editing it and putting out there, which is a little different than what you normally do. What's it been like with going through this whirlwind?
Yeah, it's been fun. I've tried to take advantage of that. So, yeah, my old Hoffman, especially Shannon Flynn, those interviews are really good. You know, a lot of the comments I get, especially with Shannon, are what happened to his voice? And he had lung cancer, and it had a big chunk of his lung removed. And so it's kind of nice for people to hear him in his normal voice, because now his voice, you know, it's almost like a loud whisper. And
when I saw him on the Netflix, they had the image of him for the ad. I thought, oh, Rick's had him on there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, he's been on there. And then he started talking on the trailer, and I thought, oh, that's a different guy. So I completely disconnected. And then earlier today, I was going through some old stuff, and I thought, I'm going to look at that. And I played the tape, and I realized that is Shannon Flynn. And I was listening to your video. So thank you for answering that, because and that's good that people can hear his original voice and that you documented that for.
Yeah. Shannon just gave an interview this weekend, and I found out that the nerve to his vocal cord was paralyzed during the surgery. And that's why his voice, and in fact, he's had a new surgery that's trying to fix that, but he's, you know, he's going to sound like President Kimball for the rest of his life, probably. And President Kimball had a raspy voice too. So it's sad, but I, you know, I'm glad we still have Shannon around, you know, and lung cancer is not anything to mess with. So
that's for sure. Yeah, no, this is very interesting. Yeah. So this has been, you know, this whole Hoffman thing, of course, this would cause interest for outsiders outside of Mormonism to want to investigate. you know, I recently did a review of the Salamander book. You know, I thought this is a good introduction if people are interested in the topic. And so I thought, okay, this is kind of a cool time for people to kind of get to know a little bit about Mormonism and its history. And I think what we're doing, you know, what might be beneficial to the outsiders as well. And so it's been an opportunity. So here you are, you know, you kind of alluded to this earlier in our conversation. And when somebody asked you, like, how is it that you have all this information, okay, about the full spectrum of Mormonism, and you know the entire history, and you kind of know some of the things that maybe an average Sunday-going Mormon doesn't know. And so you've been exposed to all this history because you're just so interested in it. I just would like to know, how has that informed and strengthened and your faith?
Well, you know, I'm going to cheat. I know John DeLynn had a... I'm trying to be nice. but I don't know how to be nice. A hit piece on a recent fireside that Patrick Mason gave. Patrick's the head of Mormon studies at Utah State University. And... somebody in the Mormon historians group said, can we get this without John DeLynn's commentary? And I was so glad to do that, because I don't understand what John has against Patrick Mason, because Patrick's one of the nicest people that you can meet. And I think he acknowledges most of the problems with church history. I think the world of Patrick. Patrick's a good guy. And I think Patrick's fair. But one of the things Patrick said was, you know, there's kind of this narrative, especially in the ex-Mormon communities, of, hey, if you study church history, you're guaranteed to lose your testimony. And Patrick said, that's just not true. He said, for one, I know all this stuff, and I'm a believer, and I would put myself in that category too. It's not a given that you have to lose your testimony. If you study the Bible, I mean, there's lots of problems with the Bible, with the Exodus story. Did Moses even exist? You know, we've kind of touched on that. And I'd like to get more into biblical commentary and that sort of a thing. I did that with Colby Townsend earlier, and we got into a lot more than I expected with that interview. And so... there are lots of people who know the issues of the Bible, of the Book of Mormon, of church history, of Mountain Meadows Massacre, that still believe. And so it just feels like a false narrative that, oh, if you study church history, I'm compelled to disbelieve. I mean, I acknowledge there's lots of problems. You know, the Mountain Meadows Massacre is one of the worst. I would say it is the worst chapter in Mormon history. Probably the second worst is the Mark Hoffman bombings. And I think the church is more of a victim in that than they were in the Mountain Meadows. But, you know, if we look at the Crusades, all of us, if we're Christians, we, in a sense, bear that terrible atrocity. You know, there's lots of stuff, lots of skeletons in everybody's closet. Whether you're Muslim or Jewish, you know, when I look at the stories of the walls of Jericho and how the Jews, you know, they walked around seven times and then killed every man, woman, child, and animal. I mean, that's genocide. How can we be, as Christians or Jews or Muslims, how can we defend that? Like, that's terrible. That's not what Christ taught. That's terrible. And so, so I don't care who you are. If you're a student of the scriptures, whether it's the Bible, the Book of Mormon, whatever, you've got to deal with these issues. You know, I look at Abraham, one of the most appalling things, you know, we talk about Abraham, the father of monotheism. I mean, he was the original Moses in a sense. The fact that he sent out his wife, Hagar, and child to go die in the desert, that's appalling to me. You know, and as Christians, we've been conditioned to say, oh, but God had a plan, and Jacob was supposed to be the guy, not Ishmael. And I mean, if you really look at that, I think there's some serious spiritual problems that you have to deal with, whether you're, you know, no matter what your background is, and you can still choose to believe, and in some cases it is a choice, but you know, I guess the article of faith, I'm trying to remember which one it is, is we believe all things in hope. Let's see. I'm going to butcher it now. I had it a second ago. But seek after the good things. Faith, virtue, love, charity, kindness, humility, diligence. Indeed, we believe we follow in the admonition of Paul. Seek after the good things. I'm not going to defend Abraham sending Ishmael out to die in the desert with Hagar. I'm not. That to me, that's no Christian would do that. Whether or not I have a testimony of polygamy, which I don't, that's just appalling behavior. So there's lots of things that every Christian, I think, if you're a serious student of the Bible, you need to look at and come to grips with. And you can't just say, oh, it compels me to disbelieve. Maybe it does. Maybe if you're happier outside of a church, I don't want you to be miserable. You shouldn't be miserable. Maybe Christianity is not for you, but there are a lot of good and bad things with every church, with every institution. And I actually like wrestling with these dilemmas. But you know, it's not for everybody. I'm sure there's probably some people that are like, how can he attack the story of Abraham? But I got problems with that story. I got big problems.
And you know, and you should. I think that's you know, those are things that I've struggled with as well. I mean, there's many things in the Old Testament, and there's even things in the New Testament. I mean, even Christopher Hitchens said, you think the Old Testament's bad? Well, Jesus gave us hell. You know, the concept of hell. It's like, oh boy, that's a good point, Chris. Yeah, point taken. So, you know, that's the thing about having a real, like, a challenged faith is if your faith is never challenged, and you're just, and your view of faith is basically what you were taught as a child, and you never wrestled with it. We should wrestle with God every day. You know, that's part of the faith journey. You know, mm-hmm. and it actually strengthens us. And when you're not wrestling with him, and there is, you're absolutely right about everything you said, you got to wrestle with that. Now, the problem that I often see is the very thing that they criticize, let's say fundamentalists, people, literalists and everything like that, who have a very black and white worldview, is that people like John DeLynn and the ex-Mormon crowd, they fall into a type of fundamentalism where everything is either or, black or white. And they start quoting scriptures at you like a fundamentalist does to prove their point. And I'm like, okay, guys, you're kind of doing the same thing. And not only that, but you've basically just made materialism your new God. And you have your sex, and you have your sex, S-E-C-T-S, you know, within Mormonism, I'm sure there's sex too as well. But you have all you have all these competing ideas of groups, and it basically becomes a pseudo-religion. And so to me, the materialistic alternative to faith is such a dead end. And, you know, I always tell people that the spiritual aspect of we as humans is something that needs to be nurtured, because we are the ancestors of those people who started burying their dead when they recognized about 150,000 years ago that we're more than walking pieces of meat, that there's something, there's a spark, there's something important that we need to preserve and bury them with things that are important to them, and have ceremony, and have an idea of an afterlife, a spirit, a soul. And we have to realize that that is hardwired into us. And that's what made us who we are. And to deny that is to deny your basic humanity, and you're denying your very ancestors. Now we're talking about pioneer ancestors. We're talking about people from 150,000 years ago. That's, they helped us make us who we were. And the spiritual aspect is something that needs to be nurtured. And if they don't do that, they end up becoming very angry and very hurtful, and they end up just adopting materialism and things of this world as their God. And I just find that to be a very sad thing to do.
Well, you know, it's hard because not everybody likes to study this stuff. You know, I just had a conversation with my wife, and she doesn't like that I would question the story of Abraham or whatever. She doesn't like that I like to get into controversial things. She just wants a simple faith. And, you know, there are people for whom, and I think we need to respect that as a viable alternative. There are people that, like John, who want to tear that down. And I, that's, to me, that's not mature. You know, I know lots of ex-Mormons. I have friends who are ex-Mormons. I've talked to critics like Sandra Tanner. I've talked to Dan Vogel, who are probably as critical as you're going to get about LDS topics. And the if that makes you happy, I guess that's fine. But I don't like it when people try to missionize, I guess. You know, when I talk with you, I'm not trying to convert you. We're just having a conversation. John DeLynn is trying to convert. At least it feels like to me. He didn't used to be that way, but since he got excommunicated, and I can understand where he's coming from. I think he's angry. I think he's hurt. If that had happened to me, I would be angry and hurt. I would want to lash out. But I think I know lots of ex-Mormons who can respect people of faith, and it just feels like John hasn't gotten there yet. I still think he's on his journey, and I hope he gets there. But he doesn't respect people like Patrick Mason or Terrell Givens or Richard Bushman or whoever. And to me, that's just, you know, the scripture comes to mind from Proverbs, a woman scorned. he feels like a woman scorned, like he's going to take it out on the church and that sort of a thing. And to me, that's an understandable reaction. I just hope he can mature out of that phase. You know, and I can almost hear that I'm already going to get hate mail. How dare you? John's a great guy. And John is a great guy. John's a friend of mine. But I don't think the way his podcast has turned is, on the one hand, I understand he wants to cater to the ex-Mormon community and to help people through faith. But it feels like he's, and I think that that's a good thing. But sometimes it feels like you get in some of these groups and it's just an anger churning thing. And it's like, we're going to burn down the church. And I don't think that's productive. And I think his group, especially, while I understand they need support and they do, it feels to me like that's a very unproductive way to do it. Just churning through anger and being angry all the time. They're your stereotypical angry ex-Mormon.
Yeah, and you know, I do watch John DeLynn a lot. I mean, I probably watched 10 out of the 12 hours that he had with that Egyptologist from the University of Chicago, because I'm that just interested in the topic. And I, on a personal level, I actually like John from what I see. You know, so there is that. I mean, I think he seems like a really nice guy. I've been there. You know, I felt that exact same anger that he's felt. And he is, in his own way, trying to be constructive, you know, in that he's doing things and he's being productive at this time. But I do feel that he is on a journey. And, you know, it's like, as Christians, we need to, you know, just have a heart of Christ for them too, you know, and just try to love them. And I think if we can show them that love, then maybe some of that anger will melt away. And to me, that's what it's all about, is having that, you know, bridging those gaps, because, you know, being angry at God or being angry at the church is a very spiritual faith type kind of thing. Anger is also part of who we are. And so he's just kind of in that other spectrum. And, you know, so that's what we just got to look at, is just being on that journey. But I completely get where you're coming from, because my heart goes out to the guy. And I feel bad, John. Yeah. And I feel bad because, like, he'll go after Terrell Givens. It's like, well, I don't understand why they don't go on my show. Well, like John, you know,
you think they're going to come on your show as you rip them some more? Is that going to help, John?
Yeah. And then he has like this where he starts criticizing their new book with this panel of people. And I'm thinking, you know, at first I thought, oh, Terrell Givens is coming on. This is great. And then I realized, oh, it's going to just, they were positive about certain aspects of the book. You know, I thought that they were trying to be fair, but it's like, I just don't get how he doesn't understand why they would want to come on. You know,
yeah.
That's funny to me. It's,
you know, I mean, I've been turned down by lots of people and I don't talk about it. So one guy turned me down 3 times and then he finally said yes. And I, you know, through a friend. So I think it's important to, if you're going to publicly call out Terrell Givens and Patrick Mason, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You know, it's not going to help. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Steve Pienaker, host of Mormon Book Reviews. In our next conversation, I'll channel my inner Scotty from Star Trek.
What does the future of Mormonism look like to you?
I'm a historian, not a future teller.
Well, okay, all right.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.